from Sudan here. Mm-hmm. They're going to drop them in Cairo. What are the facilities that are ready for them? We don't know just yet. So I hope people can see when there is strife in the country. And this is just the beginning. Mm. You can see the spiral effect. The British people have evacuated their own people. They took them off, I think, in a military whatever plane. And I think the Americans are gone. We are still struggling. I hope they will be able to get through, though. I hope there's a ceasefire, and I hope it's
there's a ceasefire.
Okay, so they said that the money was paid. This money. Money was paid to an undisclosed transport company on Tuesday. Why undisclosed? I don't know. By the central bank through National Emergency Management Agency. And it says here that the chairman of the Nigerians in Diaspora, Bike Dabiri, confirmed on Tuesday that the payment had been made and that the queues would be taken off this morning. Okay. And so that's there's some other information here in the story that you might want to read about. And it says here that the government sought the support of the Egyptian authorities to evacuate the 5,500. Of course, you'd have had to do that with 5,500 people coming in 40 buses. So hopefully they'll be able to accommodate them. And now that we also heard that ARPs have said that they're ready to evacuate them from any airport, my suspicion is that, and I hope that's what it is, ARPs would move into Egypt and bring them back home. Okay? The story says that the students, some of them tried to get to Ethiopia, and they were denied access because they lacked what you call security clearance, whatever that is. Bandele, there's a gentleman called Bandele.
Yes, that's a spokesman for NICOM.
And in addressing his citizens, a public servant must know how to address citizens, especially in a time like this. This is what he says, like he's addressing primary six students. Whatever you meet is your headache. When I saw this morning, I was furious. Okay, because you see, in the first instance, a university student is an adult.
That's right.
The fact that I even heard that they were getting in touch with their parents. You know, when I was in university, nobody knew my parents. Why have we degraded universities almost to secondary school level?
Oh, yeah.
I was there when my son was in school in the States, and I called to make some inquiries. They told me to mind my. They don't know me. Every month or what? They don't know me. But out of pity, they told me some things off record. He's an adult. We must learn. Once somebody is 18, he's an adult, and we must learn to develop them and treat them as an adult. That's why I have this big quarrel with universities who won't let 18-year-olds have phones and so on and so forth. So, but Bamidele is now talking to them. This is the director of, what did you call him now?
Nema,
Onimode Bandele. No, this is what he's quoted to have said. He's a doctor. That means he has a PhD.
I think.
And he's director of the ministry. He's talking to them. Whatever you meet is your headache. Because you did not listen to authorities that are supposed to cater for you. He warned the Nigerians. You don't warn them. You appeal to them. This is a war situation.
That's right.
Panic is going to set in.
Absolutely.
And you don't back at. These are your citizens. These are matured adults. I mean, they're 18 plus. Whatever you mean, you know, and that shows the attitude that we have across the board. I don't blame him. It's a new thing where you back orders at everybody, you insult them, you know, you find spokesperson insulting statesmen and so on and so forth. These are the little things we need to change. Anyway, Bandele has told them that whatever you meet is your headache. But it says that there are indications that on Tuesday, the efforts have been intensified. It also says that the embassy writes parents. The embassy should be writing the next of kin if you are going to be writing anybody. Look, development starts from attitude. If we continue to treat our mature children as kids, when will they grow? So they wrote a letter and explain the challenges it faces in bringing out their ward and children. And then the letter read, "Good evening, dear parents. I wish to respectfully, thank God for that, update you on our efforts since morning. Okay, fortunately, we are alive to tell the story. Three of us embassy officials were harassed and almost killed by RSF forces on our way to get the buses. We have secured 40 luxury buses despite the limited supply and high demand due to the situation of war we find ourselves in. But the company insisted on cash payment, which is practically impossible. After negotiations, they agreed to collect some percentage of the money, but not less than $400,000 cash. If it's a company, why wouldn't they want a transfer? I'm just wondering.
It depends. I'm
maybe there are no banking facilities.
I'm not even sure that this company will be in Nigeria because of where the pickup location is. So
no, it won't. Yes, I don't think.
Yeah.
But the company itself might be an intermediary to go now organize the buses.
Right, that's
I'm thinking
thing.
Like a detective.
Yeah, that's another thing, actually.
And I'm wondering why would anybody insist on $400,000? Has banking broken down in Sudan?
They may have their reasons, yes, maybe. Definitely. Because of the war situation. But then the company may not be in Sudan.
Who actually may have their reasons?
Maybe Egyptian company, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. You're doing this mess, man. Who may have their reasons?
The company. The company. They may have their reasons why they need cash. Perhaps because of the logistics involved to be able to sort out a few things
okay,
right there on
just
the spot.
Like it happened during the elections.
I don't know about elections. I don't know about that one.
But we managed to get some. Anyway, the whole story is there. They're set to go this morning. Don't let me waste too much time on that. They're all set to go. By tomorrow, we hope that you know we'll have good news for you.
And another issue of concern here is a ceasefire. We have a 72-hour ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when the ceasefire started. Sunday or Monday? I don't know.
Even if it started on Monday,
yeah.
Today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. So I'm not exactly sure. You know, if we have that much time left.
No, they're supposed to leave this morning.
To move 5,500 people.
Well, they're moving them in 40 buses might not even be enough.
That's what I'm saying. They'll like, how many people can occupy a bus?
They will load them, they will pack them
They'll pack them in, Abi. And just move as quickly as possible.
Like my friend who doesn't speak English, well, so it'll be Sandin.
You're Sandin. I mean, it's a terrible situation because I can imagine. One can only imagine the fear and trepidation of those students.
No, you better not imagine it because you might have tremors sitting down here.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. Okay. I just hope that they succeed. I'm hoping that even if the ceasefire has started, when you see a convoy of 40 buses, I hope they don't think that they are troops or anything. Yeah. But they'll have their markings. There are ways around these things and... the question also is, could Nigeria have moved faster? I think that within our capability, both personnel, this one, and logistics, we haven't done too badly.
Okay.
I think so. Given that you will hear what I said now, our capability, ability to move quickly. And I hope that... by the time we have a new government, whichever way it goes, you know, and we settle down, we'll have contingency plans for things like this to be able to move quickly. The British are gone. The Americans are gone.
They even moved in with their own special forces.
They moved in with their own special forces. What we could have done, what I think we could have done, is we could have aligned with them for this. You don't lose anything, really. Can you also help us? After all, we are all brothers and sisters. Can you help us? We need to evacuate our people. And they'll tell you, bring them up to this point. If they are flying in planes to take them, they say, okay, bring in your own planes or hire your planes from the UK and you know, you can evacuate your people and they head for Nigeria. I think we need to be a bit more... That is one of the reasons why I'm always insistent that you need a president who is hands-on. You need a president who would wake up in the morning and say, this thing in Sudan, call me this, call me that. Let's have a quick emergency meeting. Do you understand? You need somebody who can pull the plug immediately. But from the video that was making the rounds again yesterday, I don't know. Apparently, I was corrected yesterday that, what was it? I said, something also can be worn on the arm, like things like that.
Well, to be very frank, there was nothing. That picture was doctored.
Well,
I've seen the original picture.
You have seen it? Well, I thought it was doctored too. But by yesterday afternoon, I got completely confused. I was quickly corrected this morning as soon as I yesterday as soon as I stepped out. They said, no, Jimmy, there's something that they even somebody sent me the diagram. Well, I just, for me, I want to be selfish. Okay, I just want my country well run, and then we'll sort out the political issues later. But I want a well run country, or else, like I said yesterday, all of us will suffer for it. But from the video making the rounds and the part that is not doctored, I'm afraid though. But let's see, what it goes.
Let's move on to the Vanguard newspaper. We have this story here that says, oppose obese case threatened as LP factions fight dirty. It has riders.
Yes, the whole thing is dirty. I think there's been compromise along the way. But it's part of politics, you know, you infiltrate your enemy. And to try and distract them. But I don't think they will succeed in withdrawing the case. I hope not. Because it is important for those involved in the case to know that this case is a Nigerian case. Okay, it has now gone beyond even Obi or Tinubu. It's a very crucial case, and the end results are very, very decisive to the country. And so I would advise that you know, nothing tampers with that case, in all honesty. It will settle a few issues. It's beyond the issue of whether Tinubu becomes the president or Obi becomes president, but it settles a lot of things. It will hopefully bring calm to the country. Okay? So the Labour guys who are playing all kinds of tricks, I beg you, put your nation forward. Imagine if you withdrew that case now, how you expect the public to react. You know, so let's all be responsible. I know politics, all kinds of things, settlements and whatever can happen. But for God's sake, let's all try and be responsible.
Who has the right to withdraw that case, though?
The person who filed it. It's as simple as that.
What's that effort?
If you not file, if you don't file, you can't withdraw.
What's that nonsense effort then, in writing to the tribunal?
If it's the person who takes the complaint to the tribunal that can take it back. I mean, that's logical. Okay, so maybe what I'm suspecting is maybe the Labour Party filed the case. So this now is fighting for ownership of the party. That's where the technicality lies. So what it could mean is, and I'm not a lawyer or liberals in cases, but what it could mean by simple logic is if there's a fight for the leadership, and one says we should withdraw, the other says we shouldn't, then you first of all have to go to court to settle the leadership of the party.
Yeah.
I think that's where all this is going. And of course, it's going to cause a great delay. So a lot of you know, common sense has to come into it, a lot of healing, you know, egos, my side. And of course, you can't take away the possibility of some monetary inducement. Let me keep quiet.
I want to keep quiet. Why now?
Anybody who wants to eat with the leadership of the APC, it's not a long spoon that he needs. You know, they say if you want to eat, you need a spiritual spoon. A fairy, when you are putting this food in, they won't see it at all. those guys are something else. Yeah, I had a different opinion of that party with what happened in Lagos, but that's a story for another day. But you know, because what it means, where we are going, in all honesty, is if the man believes that he has the authority. And heaven help the Labour Party if he was the one who personally went to do all the paperwork. He will feel he has the right to withdraw. For whatever reasons. So what do you do? We are withdrawing, we are not withdrawing. The court can say, go and settle the case of
your case first.
Who can do that? Will take another 1 year.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Let me take this story.
You didn't hear that, I hope.
No, not at all. Page 6 of the Vanguard. Buhari, Obi, Obaseki, Sanwo-Olu mourn as Peter Enahori dies at 88 in London.
These are the people who enjoyed Nigeria. Peter Enahoro, if I remember very well, unfortunately, I just got this one now. Peter Enahoro, if I remember very well, was editor of Daily Times in his 20s.
Hmm.
Yes. Brilliant journalist. In those days when there were no TVs or radio as such, and you read columns, there were two columnists amongst others in his generation. One is Sad Sam. Uncle Sam Amoka. And the last time I saw him, he said, Jimmy, I'm still alive. He said, I have not gone yet. And the other one is Peter Pan, Peter Enahoro, who died at the age of 88, yes. He had one magazine called, was it Africa Now? In the days when there's no more emphasis on print, social media, blogs and all kinds of things have taken over that function. I'm happy that, you know, sometime he became editor of the Sunday Times at 23. I got the date right. He'll be sorely missed. He's referred to here as Pa Enahoro. I never saw him like that, and I never will. You know, these people like Uncle Sam, I don't call Uncle Sam Pa Muka. No. Their minds are forever young and contemporary. Mm. You walk into Uncle Sam, almost 90 himself, and his mind is as young and as fresh, if you are not careful, fresher than yours.
Hmm.
You know, same with Peter Enahoro, who is now being referred to at some point as Pa Enahoro. But he has a lot of tributes here, and I would add mine to say that, especially the Enahoro family. The Enahoro family is one family that has contributed well to Nigeria's development. You know Anthony Enahoro.
That's right.
And you know Mike Enahoro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Enahoro, yes. So he'll be greatly missed. May he so rest in peace, and my condolences to the Enahoro family. Reading this brings back memories way back at the days of Network News at 9 o'clock. And I remember when Mike Enahoro got married to Julie Coker. And we were all waiting, and one day the two of them had to present the news together. You know, these were the little thrills that we had. Nobody was interested in how much money you had or the car you were driving.
Mm.
You were more interested in making a name as a lawyer, as a journalist, as this and as that. The reverse is the case now.
Right.
Yes, the reverse is the case. We have a different country now entirely.
Mm. Let's take this one here on page 10. How Lagos can curb building collapse, FEM.
I don't think Lagos wants to curb building collapse. I think they just want to learn to live with it. And I'll tell you what I mean. Apparently, people who are owners of these properties are highly influential people.
Mm.
And we have a government that cannot stand up to them. Because my feel is that if we had done the needful and prosecuted successfully one or two people as an example, we won't be in the mess that we are in now.
Mm.
Look at some of the buildings. The only building that has gone down that the owner has really been identified is the one where the owner died in the building.
Mm.
The one that happened in Oniru, we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything. So many building collapses, investigations will be done, we will prosecute, you don't get to know who did what. Mm. Until we make an example, you know, because what it means is even those who are the construction industry now will soon have a problem. Let me give you an example. If anybody approaches me now that you want to rent a place, you know what I tell them?
What's that?
Go look for the old buildings. Don't go to this new development because they've been compromised. With the state of emergency that we are in that industry, I suggested here that anybody going above two or three floors, the construction can only take place with the following companies. And you add to them after you've given them due clearance. Costain, Julius Berger, this thing. Because ordinarily, look at the one who wanted to build the 17-story building by direct labor. happening? You know? And we don't have a value for life. So the same optics keeps repeating. You remember the commissioner was here that day when he refused to mention the names of those who wanted. But I think it was
yes,
with
yes.
He refused
yes.
to mention. Why? Why would you want to do that? You're ready to mention the name of a pickpocket. You're ready to mention the name of this and parade them. When it comes to the elite, you keep mum. And it's the elite. Where would I have the money to buy it? To build a 12, 13, whatever story building in Banana Island or in Oniru in Via. It's the elite. It's the elite. And the government doesn't realize that they need to protect. Because when these buildings go down, if it would go down with the owners only, it wouldn't have been so bad. Sometimes the house could be fully built before it comes down. You know, innocent yeah. people. I lost a son in that Ikoyi one. He just came there to work. And you can imagine the grief as we speak that the family is still going through. Even I, as a close family friend, I know every time I think of him and think of his wife and child. But it looks as if those who run the affairs of this state, they don't take into cognizance the human implication. How many people are going to die before we do the right thing? There was some scheme that came up when it was like, okay, the insurance company, and that was introduced during Fashola's period. I don't know in what form, but if I remember very well, it was something like you had to have insurance, and no insurance company would insure your building if they were short. We don't know what has happened now. I heard since that Banana Island, about two others have gone down. I think one went down again in Apapa.
In Apapa, yes.
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 So are we going to have our governor keep going to the sites and huffing and puffing and not bringing the house down? Tell us who owns these buildings. Make an example of them. Make an example of the officials. Because the system is laid out. It is compromised. We refuse to do that. The one at Oniru was laughable. In 2 days, you wouldn't know anything had happened. It looks as if, you know, all kinds of things. We don't know. You haven't told us who owned the building. You haven't told us who has been arrested and who has been prosecuted. So how you can curb building collapse, you can only curb building collapse with a determined government. And I'm sorry, I don't see that in the current government we have as far as this is concerned. Not to talk of the environment, Sheriff, on Sunday, I had to drive through Edo to Oyinbo. Ah, Jesus. I had to drive through from Edo, major road, to Oyinbo by Mainland Hotel and so on and so forth. It was an eyesore. The fine bus stop that you had, there's a fine bus stop, it's called Otto. The fine bus stop had become a refuse dump. Then Oyinbo itself. Okay, I've said we have to learn to live with this thing, so there's no point.
Shebi,
let's go on to something
else. Let's quickly just take this story here as we go. 2023 elections, 96% of female candidates crash out.
Well, Rulo, you know, this is a very good analysis by the Daily Trust asking us, we need to ask ourselves, why would you have an electoral process where 96% of female candidates couldn't make it? Meaning, if there were 100 candidates in this election who were females, only 4 of them made it. Yes, Abby. Well, 100 minus 96 gives you what?
40.
Not 40, it's 4.
It's 40, 40.
So the article examines that, and I think the woman, you know, should probably... But the truth is this. The politics that we practice, apart from the fact that it's not even good for men, decent men, as we speak, if we don't clean up that process, the kind of leadership we will produce at the top, your guess is as good as mine. How would, you know, look at what happened, all the violence and whatever. Look at the woman whose face was gassed. Who would see that and allow his wife to, you know? Would you ever go into politics, Sherry?
No.
Why now?
I'm not just. Some of us are not cut out for these things.
What do you mean cut out for what things?
Like we're not. We can't do the. We can't play that game.
What is the game? What is the part of the game?
Some of us don't have the patience.
God will give you that. What else don't you
have? No, you have to know what you're capable of.
Ologun.
No, I mean Ologun. Mofuyegon.
But you see, look, let's look at it. If your leadership of your country or your environment is decided from such a murky environment.
Yeah.
What kind of leadership do you think you produce? Remoru.
Garbage in, garbage out. Right.
Let's see what the next 4 years will look like.
Okay.
Let me go.
We got to go now. He's back at 9 for Diabumi. All right.
Yes.
I'm Sheriff, he's Jimmy. Let's take a break. The news is next. After the news, we'll continue our conversation with live telecast of the Presidential Election Petition Tribunal or not.
We all have that one friend that always hides everything from everyone else. Like my guy, Sheung, that's got 1 gig free data.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn there that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, you're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a